Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rites of Spring, The Great War and the Birth of the Modern Age by Madras Eksteins is a cultural history that treats World War I not only as a geopolitical rupture, but as a transformation in sensibility, art, and ideas. Eksteins links the collapse of old European certainties to the rise of modernism, arguing that the war accelerated a new attitude toward authority, tradition, and the self. The book is known for weaving together battlefield experience, political change, and cultural milestones such as avant-garde performance, literature, and shifting social norms. Rather than presenting a conventional campaign narrative, it follows how people explain the war to themselves and how those explanations reshaped public life. Eksteins pays particular attention to Germany and the contested meanings of freedom, discipline, and national destiny, tracing how the conflict opened doors to radical experimentation as well as radicalization. The result is an interpretive account of how the modern age emerged from catastrophe and why culture and politics became inseparable in the 20th century. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, modernism as a pre-war sensibility. A central idea in Eksteins' work is that the modern age did not begin in 1914 out of nowhere. It had been forming through a growing impatience with inherited rules in art, morality, and politics. He uses the emergence of modernist culture as a lens for understanding a broader change in how Europeans experienced the world. New forms in music, dance, painting, and literature did more than shock polite society. They challenged assumptions about harmony, stable meaning, and the authority of the past. By framing modernism as a sensibility, Eksteins highlights how aesthetics and politics fed each other. Experiments in form reflected experiments in identity and social roles. Traditional hierarchies that once felt natural began to look like conventions that could be replaced. This pre-war mood matters because it shaped how the war was imagined at its outset. Many people interpreted the coming conflict as a cleansing break, a dramatic act that would sweep away stagnation and allow renewal. Eksteins shows how cultural rebellion, fascination with intensity, and a desire for new beginnings made the leap to war seem, to some, like a rite of passage into modern life. The war then became the proving ground for these impulses. Secondly, World War I as cultural and moral turning point. Eksteins treats the Great War as an event that reordered moral expectations and public language. The scale of industrial killing forced societies to reinterpret familiar values such as duty, honor, and sacrifice. He emphasizes how the war dissolved older boundaries between the front and home, private feeling, and public propaganda. Mass mobilization required mass persuasion, and persuasion required narratives that made suffering meaningful. In this view, the war was also a struggle over interpretation. Governments, writers, and ordinary people competed to explain why endurance mattered and what victory would represent. Eksteins explores how the conflict accelerated the modern emphasis on experience itself, intensity, immediacy, and the primacy of personal perception. At the same time, the war normalized bureaucratic systems and technological organization that could feel both empowering and dehumanizing. The trench world demanded obedience. Yet it also produced skepticism toward established authorities that seemed unable to justify the slaughter. This tension between a craving for freedom and the reality of mechanized discipline becomes a key marker of the modern condition. Eksteins shows that the war did not merely destroy lives and empires. It changed the moral grammar people used to judge politics, art, and each other, leaving a legacy of disillusionment mixed with a hunger for new forms of meaning. Thirdly, Germany, discipline, and the idea of cultural mission. A major thread in the book is Eksteins' interpretation of Germany's role and self-understanding during the era. He examines how German culture often framed itself as the bearer of depth, order, and seriousness, contrasting this image with perceptions of Western liberal societies as superficial or materialistic. This opposition was not just propaganda but part of a long conversation about what modernity should be. Eksteins argues that the war intensified the belief that national identity could be expressed as a cultural mission, and that discipline and organization were virtues capable of shaping history. In such a framework, obedience and sacrifice were not merely military necessities but moral ideals. Yet the war also exposed the danger of treating culture as destiny. When national purpose becomes aestheticized, political choices can be justified as expressions of higher necessity rather than accountable decisions. Eksteins explores how this mindset interacted with the trauma of defeat and the perceived injustice of the post-war settlement. The result was a volatile mixture of wounded pride, longing for renewal, and the desire to impose meaning through collective will. By following these themes, the book links cultural narratives to political outcomes, suggesting that the pathway to later extremism cannot be understood without examining the emotional and symbolic worlds that made radical solutions seem plausible to many. Fourthly, the post-war world disillusionment and experimentation. After 1918, Eksteins depicts a society trying to live with shock. The old assurances that progress, reason, or shared morality would guide civilization had been badly damaged. This did not lead only to despair. It also produced a surge of experimentation in public life and the arts, as if new forms were needed to match a new reality. Eckstein's connects the mood of the interwar years to a surge for authenticity and intensity. People questioned traditional institutions such as monarchy, church authority, and inherited social codes, while also testing the limits of freedom and personal behavior and cultural expression. The same disorientation that drove innovation also made many crave stability and certainty. Eckstein shows how disillusionment can foster both liberation and vulnerability. When the familiar collapses, individuals may become more open to new ideas, but they may also become more susceptible to movements that promise clarity through strong authority. In this interpretation, the post-war years were not a simple bridge between two wars. They were a formative period in which modern attitudes toward sexuality, leisure, consumer culture, and mass media developed alongside political polarization. The modern age, as Eckstein presents it, is born in these contradictions: creative openness mixed with fear, liberation mixed with longing for control. Lastly, art, myth, and the politics of meaning, Eckstein emphasizes that modern politics increasingly relied on symbolic power, not only on institutions and laws. As traditional sources of legitimacy weakened, societies turned to mythic narratives, spectacle, and cultural imagery to create belonging and justification. The book explores how art and public performance can shape what feels true, sometimes more forcefully than factual argument. In a world marked by mass death and rapid change, the need to impose meaning becomes urgent. Eckstein suggests that the modern age is characterized by a heightened awareness that reality is mediated by newspapers, film, slogans, ceremonies, and stylized public rituals. These tools can democratize expression, but they also enable manipulation. When public life becomes theatrical, political movements may compete through aesthetics, through displays of unity, purity, or rebirth, rather than through deliberation. Eckstein links this development to the wartime experience, when propaganda and morale were essential, and to modernist culture, which broke conventional forms and opened new possibilities for persuasion. The topic underscores one of the book's most enduring contributions. It treats cultural history as a key to understanding power. The contest over interpretation, over which stories define sacrifice, victimhood, and destiny, becomes a decisive battlefield of the 20th century. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want more than a chronological military history of World War I. It is ideal for students, general history readers, and anyone interested in how art, national identity, and political culture shape events. Readers of cultural history, modern European studies, and modernism will find a framework that connects famous artistic ruptures and everyday social change to the violence of the trenches and the anxieties of the post-war order. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. Eckstein helps readers recognize how societies create meaning in crisis, how propaganda and symbolism influence what people accept as normal, and how the desire for renewal can slide into dangerous simplifications. Those insights translate to modern life, where media, spectacle, and identity narratives remain central to politics. Compared with similar books, Rites of Spring stands out for its integrative approach. It does not treat culture as decoration around the real story, but as part of the machinery of history. It also offers a distinctive interpretive argument about modernity that invites debate and rereading. For buyers choosing among World War I titles, it provides a memorable lens that complements battlefield and diplomatic accounts by explaining why the war changed not only borders, but the very terms by which people understood freedom, authority, and selfhood. If you would like to support Madras Eckstein, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.